Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. My name is Chris Jackson.
And this is Carl Carlson.
And today we're going to be talking about FAMIA worksheets, which I know gets everyone's blood pumping.
Huh. It sounds, it could be drab, but it's actually a really good subject.
Right, yeah. And if for people who don't know what FAMIAs are, Carl in particular has got a lot of content on Ascendo what FAMIAs are all about. But yeah, before he elaborates further, FAMIAs are wonderful group activities where the end state is a bunch of prioritized ideas about what you can do to prevent catastrophes, design catastrophes, reliability catastrophes, process catastrophes, software catastrophes early on in your production process to essentially speed everything up and reduce costs by not having to constantly deal with these catastrophes, and as a useful byproduct, have more reliable quality stuff at the end. So you fill in the gaps about FAMIAs, Carl.
Yeah, so that's a nice intro, and it's so important that the worksheet or database, because a lot of people have moved to databases, is looked at as a repository of thinking and debating and dialogue about the design or the manufacturing process, not the other way around. In other words, it's the interaction of the subject matter expert team creatively looking at what can go wrong with a design or manufacturing process, and then entering the results of their thoughts in this worksheet or database. And it's so important that the FMEA process supports that creative thinking.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, is that when it's a group activity first and foremost. It's not a spreadsheet in the same way a sports. It's like sports in that the actual thing that happens is on the field or on the diamond or in the pool. It's not the write-up that happens at the end. Anyone can write about what happened on the sporting field or the pool or the diamond or what have you, but sports aren't all about having what people write about it. Sports are all about the decisions and tactics and preparation and tactics that lead to good performance. And I say the same about FAMIAs. The FAMIA worksheet is simply the write-up of a good group activity, which involves a healthy dose of brainstorming. And the flip side, though, is that the FAMIA worksheet is actually very intrinsic in the group activity itself. You start sort of filling it out as you go, and having your FAMIA worksheet well thought out or at least structured can help guide you through that group activity. And so it's not quite as distinct as this sort of the beat writer writing the report of what happened on the sporting field after the event. It's a lot more involved in the FAMIA worksheet, a lot more involved in the process itself. Would you agree with that, Carl?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it is a process. The thing to be concerned about, and you brought it up in a previous podcast that we've done, is people don't tend to see what isn't there. People see what's in front of them. If you put an object in front of someone, they'll see the object. This is known with a lot of people because you can misdirect and actually get people to miss things. One of my favorite stories that I used in my book from the Black Swan book is about the group of people that are passing a basketball back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the instructor says, watch what they're doing, that kind of thing. And people are watching the basketball. And they don't see that someone dressed up in a gorilla costume actually walks to the middle of the team that's throwing the basketball and then walks out. And more than half people miss the fact that a person in a gorilla costume walked through because they're focused on the basketball.
Right. And
so words are like objects in this case, are very distracting to people. They focus on the object and they don't see what isn't there. And that is so important. But you mentioned when we were talking that you start, because of this phenomenon, you start an FME in a certain way. What is that?
Right. So when I facilitate FMEs, and I'm a big advocate of using spreadsheets as for the FMEA worksheet, as the medium that I build my FMEA worksheet on, there are software applications out there which can do a pretty good job of sort of having a, let's just say, more interactive worksheet built as you go. But I like spreadsheets. And when I facilitate, I mean, as a facilitator, you have to evolve when you learn how facilitation needs to work for you. And I believe every facilitator has to facilitate in a different way. It has to be all about what works for you. You have to facilitate in a way that's genuine to you. And so every facilitator will have a different facilitation strategy, or good facilitator, I should say, that aligns with their personality, what they want to achieve and everything else. And I went through iterations where, you know, you wanted to pre-populate the FMEA worksheet, and what pre-population is what you're talking about, Carl, where you know there are going to be some things that go in your FMEA worksheet. You know that there are going to be some obvious ways your thing can fail. So we'll put it in the, no need to waste time brainstorming this. We'll put it in the FMEA worksheet in advance so we can quickly move through it. But the more you pre-populate, the more of what you talked about, Carl, happens, where people can't see what's missing. You just see lots of lines on a screen. You go, okay, well, there's 25 different ideas for how that widget could fail. And all right, so we're done. We're cool. We'll move on. And we often miss the really important ones that are specific to our device. And so, okay, I went through the pre-population phase, and then I went through, okay, I won't pre-populate anymore. I certainly went through the pre-population process, but I kept that information, so to speak, in my back pocket so that when we were brainstorming, I could then look at what I'd already researched and fill in the gaps. So then I had FMEA worksheets which were just column headings, you know, system requirement, function, severity, you know, system functional failure, all that sort of stuff, moving from left to right, which sort of followed how I was going to, or how I facilitate a FMEA. That was helpful enough. The problem is there's maybe, 20 columns? And why that? When you go to corrective actions and comments and, you know, revised scores and everything else, is that that be about right about would that number be similar to your FMEA worksheets, maybe 20?
Sure, it's order of magnitude, very definitely.
Yeah, so then you have this FMEA worksheet which is got lots of columns, it's all blank beneath it, and obviously what's the column you have on the right hand side, remarks or comments. And that was a problem for me for a couple of reasons. Firstly, having all those columns headings is intimidating when you have so many columns which are blank and you're doing one column at a time. It just is a very visual reminder at the very start of it for me of how much work is left to go. And it's sort of a bit of a negative aesthetic. And the second thing is you usually start on the leftmost column as you move left to right. And every time you want to write a remark, for example, you might be brainstorming system requirements and you come up with John says, oh, by the way, when I did this last time, we found that we had to do this to make sure that didn't happen. John, that sounds like a fantastic corrective action. So I'll put it in the remarks column. So when we get to the corrective actions, we'll see it. But then you sort of have to scroll way to the right. You lose everything on your screen because it's a spreadsheet. Scroll, 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 scroll. In it goes. Scroll, 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 scroll back. And by the time you get to the column where that comment is relevant, it's the remarks column is still way off to the right. You still can't see it and you forget about it. And so the way I do it now is I start with a spreadsheet which has nothing except for the remarks column on the left-hand side. And I know what column headings will be. And I ask my scribe as we go to enter the column headings, insert a column into the column heading. So, you know, one of the early ones will be system requirements. So insert column, title it system requirements and brainstorm. So the only thing you'll see on that screen would be system requirements. You have item details on the left, just bear with the analogy. So system requirements would be right next to the remarks column. And so you are able to really easily put stuff into the remarks column as you're going.
Mm.
And when you start putting more and more columns in, the remarks column is always there. And so you're always able to visually see what the great idea was half an hour ago when it came to trying to work out, you know, those corrective actions and the rest. And the added benefit of that is it's not nearly as intimidating at the start where you have all those empty columns that everyone knows that you need to fill out eventually. And even though it seems like a lack of preparation, and I hate that feeling, when you have something blank, it always makes me feel like I haven't prepared properly, but it works really well for at least the way I do it. So I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts on, firstly, how you build your worksheets are, Carl, noting your experience in the field, and comments on my approach.
Yeah, first of all, let me draw on a quote, one of my favorite quotes I use in all of my training. In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. And that's Benjamin Franklin. And the whole point there is style, to me, this is whether the remarks column is by itself on the left or whatever, that's, or whether you do it some other way, that to me is a style. The principle is what you're talking about. We want to be sure we energize the creative process of the team and we don't stunt that process, short-circuit it, by entering information in pre-populated or whatever that stunts it. So I like what you're saying. Let me offer another possibility. And again, this is just style. I learned this probably halfway through my career on FMEAs, because there was one time we finished the entire FMEA. We thought we did a great job. We went to management to look at it and they go, "What? You forgot the widget failure X? How could you do that?" And my God, we missed something really big. And so I backtracked, and now in all my FMEAs, I start with yellow stickies. So I'll get the team together. We'll do the preparation for the FMEA, everything we're supposed to do. And then in the first team meeting, before I fill out anything on the worksheet, I hand out packs of yellow stickies. And I say, "What are you worried about on the this system? What keeps you up at night? What do you want to be sure we take care of? I want to get that documented." And it's a frantic pace for about 45 minutes as people are putting yellow stickies up on the wall. And then we organize them, try to some are clearly functions, failure modes, effects, whatever. But we'll maintain that, take a photograph of it so we don't lose it ever. And then we start the FMEA. And we constantly go back to those yellow stickies to see where that yellow sticky is in relation to the FMEA. And so different ways to do it. It could be the remarks column up front. It could be yellow stickies. The principle is so important. Don't just start filling out the form. Get the creative juices excited with the team. And it's that principle about people don't see what's missing.
The reason I like your yellow stickies thing and writing stuff down in general is that it turns it into an individual activity. So when people are trying to ram their ideas into a group activity, which is usually very verbal, you can't help but struggle to get your ideas in there sometimes. Can't help it.
Oh, yeah. Like a facilitator would say, wait a minute, hold that thought. We'll get to that later. What?
Right. It's really, really hard. And that's not a criticism of the human condition or competence. It's just group activities where you're brainstorming, you need to maintain momentum, and the casualty will be one or two good ideas, bare minimum. It's a measured casualty, let's call it that. But when you write stuff down, it turns into a group activity. You have as long as you need to get that idea out. And then you can share it with the team. And it can be very, it almost feels anonymous when you do it. And the number of good ideas you get when you say, hey, team, just write down, you know, like I was saying before, for you offline, is that, you know, I often ask people to write, give me three. And that usually turns into a minimum of three, which is good.
Right.
But it just, people just feel liberated, which is great.
I'll add one thing to the brainstorming process that relates to this, which is that, and we both agree we want to avoid the 1,000-page FMEAs. And I've seen many, many of them. They're useless. You don't see the forest for the trees. We're trying to find out the major issues and be sure they don't happen. So when we brainstorm, let's say we're brainstorming failure modes, and I ask the team, if I'm teaching, I say, if a lion walks through that door and steps on the widget, is that a failure mode you're concerned about? And they go, well, not really. Well, you could brainstorm that. There could be a comet, there could be all kinds of different things. And maybe if you're developing a space station, you want to include the comet. Maybe not if you're on the ground developing widgets. So the point is that I use the following test, Chris. I'd be curious your thoughts on this. If I have the right team together, and that's the supposition, if you have the right team in the room and no one, not one person is concerned about something, I don't enter it into the worksheet, or it doesn't end up in the final worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
However, if one person is concerned of a properly constituted team, I'm going to take it up and debate it, because very often the majority is wrong. So that's my rule of thumb. So the FMEA doesn't get exceptionally large.
I agree with that. The other thing I'd do too, I'd add to that, is that as a facilitator, if you're the facilitator and I'm that person with the lone idea that you just talked about, if I see my facilitator listen to me and say, well, are we going to ask everyone about your idea? You're the only one who came up with it, but doesn't mean that because, let's just say there's eight people, it's because there's one out of eight, we're going to discount it. What that does, it empowers me. Okay, so the facilitator is going to listen to anybody's idea, not just the mobs. And that can then be, from a personal perspective, very liberating. If I see that from you as my facilitator, I'm going to be much more likely to contribute meaningfully and honestly moving forward. But if you're the facilitator and I see you say, well, you're the only one who thinks that, so yeah, we're not going to worry about it too much. Well, that has a follow-on effect too. I'm just less likely to throw my hat in the ring. Even if it's an immature dummy spit, so to speak. So as a facilitator, if you take everybody's ideas seriously, even if the only one to have it, it has a follow-on effect, which I think is very difficult to quantify, but if you could, it would be huge.
Yeah, I totally understand that. You want to include everybody, and this is a cultural thing. This is a setup of the team. I've been in meetings where, if you have the wrong team and it hasn't been properly prepared, and you have like a design owner as part of the team, which is fine, but then people look to the design owner to see whether they should bring something up or not. Mm-hmm. They turn their head and actually look at them and watch the cues there. I'm very careful about that, because the extrovert or the authoritarian, that's why I don't want management in the FMEA team unless they're coming in with subject matter expertise, but not management, because we're not doing a management FMEA, we're doing a design FMEA. So I'm very careful about that, because people tend to look to the manager before they bring up something. So culturally, and this is also true of introverts, extroverts tend to dominate, introverts tend to think, and so you want the introverts to participate in the FMEA. You got to be very careful that the extrovert doesn't shut them down or dominate the meeting. So there's so much to this subject to get that creative thinking of everybody in the same place. And the remarks column or the yellow stickies is one tool that can help that. The principle is to get that creative thinking energized in the team so that everybody participates in some way.
Yeah, and I think one of the sort of key takeaways too from this discussion is facilitation is no joke. You can't skimp on facilitation. You can have a wonderfully prepared Vimea or Vimeka workshop be destroyed by a poor facilitator. Have an amazing facilitator rescue a Vimea or Vimeka from poor preparation in many cases. It's not the other way around. And anyone who knows Carl and anyone who knows me knows that we're very different people, and Carl will facilitate Vimeas. I have to facilitate Vimeas different to Carl because I have a different personality to Carl, but that's the way it should be. I don't think from our discussions over the years, Carl, that we differ on any of the fundamentals, though. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's the thing, Chris, and that's what's so beautiful about it, is we have common ground on the fundamentals and the principles. How we go about it is our own personal way, our own style. That's why I use that quote all the time.
Yeah.
About style versus principle. And I'm fine. I want to see different ideas and methods to get that creative process flowing. And that's perfectly appropriate. So if you're a listener, and we would love to hear from you on how you go about entering information on the FMEA worksheet or in the FMEA database, do you start with a remarks column? Do you start with yellow stickies? Or do you just start with the form itself? What are your lessons learned, so to speak? We'd love to hear from you. We can be reached on LinkedIn. We can be reached on Ascendo Reliability very easily. And we'll actually conduct a podcast based on listener questions and that type of thing. How else can they get in touch on this, Chris?
The Speaking Reliability webpage is ascendoreliability.com/series/SOR. And to be honest, the website has a great, list of how to reach out to Fred, me, Carl, anybody else in particular. But I just want to echo what Carl said. A lot of our podcast topics come from questions or recommendations from you guys. So keep them coming and we'll try and stay relevant.
Sounds good. Nice conversation, Chris. Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.